This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I think it's important for us to go back and look at what God has said to us. And as Pastor Krim was saying just a minute ago, the word that God gave us over this year was that we would possess the promise. That things that God had placed in our heart, things that God had said to us, promises that he had made to us, prophecies that were over our lives, that we would see these things be activated, that we wouldn't just talk about them, that we wouldn't just be believing, but we would actually begin to walk into those things. And so we began to march really with this banner into 2019 of possessing the promise. So my question to you is, what happens when God gives you a word? Do you forget it, or do you go home and do you write it down? Do you have some place that you put it? Do you have some place that helps you remember that word that God gave you? Do you have some place that you write down the principles that really, really reverberate in your spirit? A place that you write down the scriptures that are really speaking to you this year? Because I believe that it's so important what we do with the word of God. Stewardship is so powerful. How we steward the gifts, the word that God gives us. And so we understand that where there is a word, there's a battle. When God speaks a word over your life, a battle immediately begins over that word. There's a battle over your promise that's going on. And so the moment that we get that word, we need to begin to pray on that word. We need to begin to meditate on that word and say, God, help me understand what you're trying to say to me in this. How does this need to look? What is the strategy for approaching this look like? So today, as we're recapping and as we are kind of going back and reflecting on the word that God gave us for this year, possessing the promise, I want to speak to you a sermon entitled, Still Possessing. Look at somebody and say, Still Possessing. Still possessing. I think that's critical for us. And if we were to take a step back and look at what type of God that is making the promises, I want to tell you that we serve an infinite God. Psalm 147:4 says, He determines the number of the stars and he calls them by name. We look at the grandeur of this universe, understand we serve an infinite God. He is beyond our understanding, our comprehension. He's the God that both created and surpasses science. The Bible tells us that he's omnipotent or all powerful. All power belongs to him and comes from him. And he's capable of doing everything mentioned in this word. And that he literally never fails. Not figuratively, God never fails. And we can take a look at things that we see in this world. We can look at people that are doing tremendous things. You know, we look at Michael Jordan's run with the Bulls, and it seemed like he would never fail. That he would always deliver. But eventually, at the end of his career, let me tell you something, he didn't always deliver. We know that, but we serve a God that never fails. A lot of us like Amazon.com and we order stuff. We know that it seems like they always deliver, but we know sometimes they don't. There must be some instances that they have not delivered. Our God always delivers. We serve an infinite God. And he has made us some promises. Look at somebody and say, my God has made me some promises. We serve a God that never fails. He's infinite. And he has made us some promises. So no matter what you're going through right now, I want you to hold on to hope. No matter what it may look like in your circumstances, I want to tell you today, hold on to hope. No matter what type of narrative is going on in your mind, no matter what type of emotions are in your heart, if I can tell you something today, hold on to hope. Because God is able. If you can walk away with something today, hold on to hope. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this. How do we hold on to hope? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So we got to keep our eyes on him. No matter what's going on in our life, if we want to make sure that we possess our promise, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus because he never fails. And this is how we can be full of hope today. By looking at him, because he never fails. And we keep our eyes on that. If we keep Jesus in front of us, we will never lose hope. And the truth is, if we keep our eyes on him, he's always speaking to us. Actually, in Matthew 13, Jesus tells a parable of the sower. And I want to read a little bit of that to you today. It says in Matthew 13, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on a rocky place where it did not have much soil and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then the sun came up and the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30-fold what it was sown. Then we see Jesus explains the parable to his disciples in verse 18. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. We need to listen to this today. He said, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling along the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30-fold what was sown. So we understand that God is always scattering seed. Jesus is always speaking something into our life. It's not an issue of do we have a word from God. It's an issue of what we do with the word. What type of soil that we are. Look at somebody and say, I want to be good soil. If we want to possess the promise, we have to be good soil where that word can take deep root and cause fruit to happen. God is spreading and scattering the word, but it is our job to steward it. It's our job to be good soil. So let his word come into our life and bear fruit by being good soil. And so we're stewards of the word. We have to rehearse God's word over our life. We have to pray over the word that God has spoken over our life. We need to meditate on that word. Discuss it with those that are spiritual around us. It's no secret why some people excel in the things and the promises that God has given them, and others stay in a rut. Psalm 1 says, the blessed man meditates on God's word day and night. I once heard a powerful speaker from South Africa, and he was talking about the power of a word. And he said, some people have received a bunch of words. They've got a library of words, a catalog of words. He said, I've only received two words in my life, but I kept on going back to those words and rehearsing them and rehearsing them and rehearsing them. He said, I didn't have a bunch of gifts. I had two gifts. But it doesn't take a lot of gifts to bring about purpose and to bring about the promise. If you're obedient in what God has given you, and he began to tell the story of Joseph. He said he didn't have a lot of gifts. But the two gifts that he did have, he knew how to develop them. He could interpret dreams and he could administrate. And he became the second most powerful person in the world because he understood how to take those two gifts. He didn't have five gifts. He didn't have 10 gifts. He had two gifts. Two gifts. If you take the one word, if you just take two of the words that God has given you and you just begin to work with those words and you begin to meditate on those words, you begin to pray over those words, imagine what God can do in your life. But if we allow the word to sit there on the ground and the enemy to come and snatch it up, if we don't plant that word in our hearts, hide it in our hearts, that we don't sin against what God has given for us to do. Look at somebody and say, be good soil. If you want to be blessed, develop a daily habit of rehearsing God's word. That's what Psalm 1 tells us, to develop a daily habit of rehearsing God's word. Do you know what God has promised you? Do you have it on quick recall? You remember when we had to memorize phone numbers? Do you remember when speed dial was limited? You only had like 9 numbers that you could. It was 1, 2, 3, as many numbers as you had on the phone. That's the only, you just push the number and eventually it would speed dial that number. We should have our word, our words that God has spoken over our life on speed dial on our phone. The truth of the matter is you can't have 1,000 numbers on speed dial like you have on these smartphones. It's more, we're kind of more old school sometimes where you can only remember about 9 words. If you could only remember 9 things that God has spoken over your life, do you know what they are? If you could just remember 3 things, what are the things that God has spoken and promised you? And we have to find strength to stand on those things, to pray and wait for the manifestation of words over our lives. But you say, how do we find strength to pursue the promise in difficult seasons? How do we do that? Because how many know in life you go through stuff? It's not always just a easy thing and the schedule's easy and you get up and you got all the time that you need in the world. Amen, parents. Amen. People that go to college and stuff, right? It's not always that you got all this time and you, sometimes we go through difficult seasons, complicated seasons. How do we continue to pursue the promise in those seasons? How do we pursue the promise when we're going through intense warfare? How do we do that? We have to find strength. Look at somebody and say, we got to find strength. This is important to possessing the promise, because Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and are safe. You see, when I begin to call on the name of the Lord, I begin to strengthen myself. I begin to encourage myself in the Lord. When I call on the name of the Lord, I begin to make a hedge around myself, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I don't know if you've studied fortifications. Sometimes I like to visit ruins and castles and things like that when I'm vacationing with Pastor Corinne and the family. But basically, the strong tower was the stronghold of the city, that even if they broke through the main walls, there was a place you could run to. Come on, somebody. Even when the things that you were counting on, the outer walls of your life break down, and the things of the natural that you were depending on and counting on, when that stuff breaks down, you've got a stronghold that you can run to, a strong tower, it says God is, that the righteous run into and are safe. That's what the name of the Lord is when we use it in our lives. And so finding strength is all about, listen to this, finding Jesus in the season that you're in. Woo! See, you can't just find Jesus once. You need to find Jesus where you are right now. You see, it's not just about discovering Jesus. is sometimes about rediscovering Jesus and discovering who Jesus is to you in this season. In every season you come and you got to ask yourself, who is Jesus to me right now? Who do I need Jesus to be to me right now? Do I need him to be Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Or do I need him to be Jehovah Rapha, my healer? Do I need him to be Jesus, my blesser, the one that blesses me? Or do I need Jesus to be my restorer? Do I need Jesus to be the door opener? Do I need Jesus to be the chain breaker? Do I need Jesus to be the glass ceiling breaker? Who is Jesus to me right now in this season of my life? People write a lot of books about self-discovery. Just stop that. It's a waste of time. If you find Jesus, Jesus will tell you who you are. You see, that's natural wisdom. Natural wisdom tells you, you need to find yourself. Psst, don't worry about that. That's a waste of time. Find Jesus and Jesus will tell you exactly who you are. I'm wondering who I am. And God tells me I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Who you thought you discovered about yourself, that's gone now. And behold, all things are being made new. So I want you to look in the mirror of your faith and look in the mirror that is the presence of Jesus Christ and find out who you really are. Because that's the only place we find identity. The true identity that we have is when we look into the face of Jesus. And so we rediscover Jesus in the different seasons of our life. And it begins to give us strength to be able to go through the tribulations and the spiritual warfare that is attached to our purpose and our promise. Because when you get a word, there will be a battle. There is no word without a battle. There is no promised land without a battle. God says, go to a place. It's flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are like this big. It's everything you ever dreamed of. There is vineyards. There is all kind of stuff. There is cattle. There's everything that you have need of. But you're gonna have to fight for it. You're gonna have to fight for it. Sometimes it's gonna seem like you're outnumbered. Sometimes it's gonna seem like you're overwhelmed. Sometimes it's gonna seem like you're ill-equipped. Sometimes it's gonna seem like you're fighting giants. But if you can just dig deep and call on the name of Jesus and look into the presence of God, he's gonna tell you who you are. And even if your problem seems a little bigger than you, hallelujah. God is making and calling King David's. God is calling King David's. Ones that have just what it takes to bring down those giants. Who is God to you right now? I don't know about you, but there's this place in the doctor's office that I don't like. I don't like it. I go into this place and it's called the waiting room. I check my watch about 15,000 times. I'm looking around. I've counted the plants. I have psychoanalyzed every person in the room and people watched. And I'm wondering what they're doing behind that magical door. I don't like the waiting room. Does anybody here say, I don't like it. Sometimes in life, we're in the waiting room. And unfortunately, sometimes our hope starts to die a little bit while we're in the waiting room. We start wondering, did God really say that? Or we start to doubt ourselves, or did I understand what God said the right way? We start maybe doubting our promise. Sometimes we even start doubting God or asking, did he forget about me? And doubt starts to set in, and crazy things can happen in the waiting room. In the waiting room, we have to really, You have to exercise. You know, in space, they have to do all these exercises because the muscles will get atrophy because they don't have gravity to exercise them. Sometimes we're in the waiting room. We absolutely have to exercise trust. Bill Johnson said, great faith is built on the shoulders of quiet trust. And so we're exercising trust while we're in the waiting room. God, I don't understand everything that's going on right now, but I'm going to trust you that your word never fails. God, I don't feel like trusting, but I'm going to trust you today because I know that your promises are yes and amen. That your word never returns void. So God, I'm going to trust you while I'm in the waiting room. And we remind ourselves that his word never returns void. And we remind ourselves that God never bounces checks. And we remind ourselves that his word is always good. And all of a sudden, we're no longer waiting in anxiety. We're not waiting in fear. We're not waiting in doubt. We're not waiting in hopelessness. But we're waiting in faith because we have trusted in God. This is what Proverbs says in 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. When we trust him, he makes our path straight. He straightens out our path when we put our trust in him. I'm trusting God. Anybody trusting God today? I'm trusting God to straighten everything out in my life. I'm trusting God to straighten things out even when circumstances seem crazy. Then I begin to take courage. Look at somebody and say, take courage. If you're going to take something with you, you should take courage. Joshua 1:9, this is what God is saying to Joshua, and I believe this is what God is saying to us today. He said, have I not commanded you? I love how he starts that because it's like, we've already had this conversation before, but just so it's clear, I'm going to state it again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God is with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Let me tell you something. There is a responsibility attached to the word. There is a responsibility attached to your promise. And it is our obligation to possess it. Have I not commanded you? Not have I not edified you? Have I not encouraged you? Have I not got behind you and whispered some encouraging things in your ear? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. You can do this. We have a responsibility to the word that God has placed in our lives. So wherever I go and whatever I do, I'm taking courage with me. What is that? Is that baggage? No, that's courage. I'm taking courage with me. Why? Because I know that God, I got some good people with me, but let me tell you who the most important person is. God is with me wherever I go. And sometimes when the scenery changes, when the circumstances look a little complicated, even when sometimes I got a friend that was standing with me and he breaks off and he goes in a different direction, God is with me wherever I go. So I can be strong and I can be of good courage. Because he's with me. Look at somebody and say, take courage with you. We can have that courage because we know God is with us. And we take courage and we need to know that we know that we know what God has said over our lives. There's some things that I know that God has spoken to me. There's no doubt in my mind. He said some things to me about myself about my family, about our church. God has said some things. There's no doubt. It's an absolute truth that God has spoken to me. And so I have courage and I have confidence in the fact that God has spoken some things. What has God spoken to you? What has God spoke? Go home, write down the vision, make it plain, write it on some tablets, stick it on your refrigerator, stick it in your car, put it in your Bible, put it in the book you're reading, put it in your smartphone. Meditate on that. Because we want to draw that thing. I want to draw that promise out of the spiritual realm into my reality. And I'm going to walk into it courageously. I take courage and I remember that God is faithful and His promises endure. How many generations has God's promises endured? Every generation. His word never fails. His promises endure, the Bible says, from generation to generation. Come on, somebody help me today. Somebody help me today. His promises endure. And even when we falter and fail, guess what? His promises do not fail. David says, I was once young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. I've never seen His promises not deliver. I've never seen God fail at what He said He was going to do. What God has spoken over your life, take courage today, because it will come to pass. This is not a pep talk. It's the truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. The God that created the universe with His word has given His word to you and me. That there's some promises. There's some things that He said that are to come true in our lives. And if we stay faithful, if we take courage, if we rehearse that word, we will possess the promise. We have to take courage and trust. He's going to do some things that we don't understand. Sometimes to get to the place of the promise, you got to take a journey that you've never taken before. You got to go down a path that you've never. Sometimes there's some things that you don't see around the corner that are there. How many have ever gone through a new building, gone through a new house, and you didn't exactly know what was around the next corner? You didn't know what was on the other side of that door, what type of bedroom, what it would look like, how it would be decorated. Just because we don't see it does not mean it's not there, and does not mean it's not even better than we imagined. I've been some places, maybe some of you have been some places too, you walked into a room and it was better than you expected. Maybe you went and you got a hotel room and you expected one thing and it was so much more than what you thought it was going to be. That's the way that God is. When we follow Him, when we chase after Him, when we pursue Him, we open the door, we come around that corner, and the promise is even greater than we anticipated. Look at somebody and say, I will possess my promise. Let me tell you something. This is what I've been meditating on this week. This is what God has been speaking to me. This is what God's been stirring around in my heart. I want to tell you, we are going to possess every promise that God has given us to possess. We will not stop. We will continue. We will be faithful. We will take courage. We will stand. Will you stand with me today? I believe there's some things we have not even seen yet. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that He has prepared for those who He loves. My goodness, what kind of things has He prepared for you? What kind of things has He prepared for you? What does your promise look like? Can I encourage you today? Because sometimes you need encouragement. Can I encourage you today that His promise will prevail? His promise will prevail. Let me pray for you today. God, I thank you, Father, for each and every one of your sons and daughters today, God. I thank you that you wanted to remind us today that this is the year for us to begin to possess promises. That we're going to begin to walk through doors. We're going to begin to be promoted. We're going to begin to start jobs and start businesses. And we're going to, you're going to bring relationships into our lives and things, God, that you've promised us and doors and ministries, God, that you've called us to start and do. God, those things are going to begin to happen this year. Not next year, not the year after that. God, we expect, we anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. Why? Because your word to us was that we would possess the promise. So God, even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't seem like it, even when it doesn't feel like it, God, we put our trust in you. We stay faithful in what you've given us. We continue in the thing that you've given us because we know if we stay faithful and obedient, what's right around the corner is the promise. I thank you, God. Bless your people today. Maybe some of your people are, maybe somebody's here and they say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. They say, Pastor, I've kind of drifted away in my relationship with him and I need to reconnect. I really, really, really need to connect with Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Such a powerful moment. Amen. It's such a powerful moment to say, yes, Jesus, I need to get you back in my life right now. I need to put you back in the center. I need to fix my eyes back on you. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. If you lifted up your hand, please pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can pray this with us. And maybe if you lifted your hand, maybe one of the prayer team, you just put their hand on your shoulder and say, Jesus, thank you for giving me a promise. Thank you for dying on the cross to give me the power to fulfill the promise. Thank you for taking my sins away and giving me a new start. Giving me a second chance, connecting me to the Father, giving me eternal life. Thank you for all of these gifts. I receive your free gifts. Now I ask that you lead me. Jesus, lead me. Jesus, guide me. I want to put you in the center of my life. Teach me how to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.